We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, here we go on a Monday, a Red Monday, brought to you by Comcast. It's Cody and Gold. Jay Binkley in for Cody today and tomorrow. What's going on, man? Oh, there it is. You might have heard it. He just cracked open the energy drink.
I kept it on silent there, so it didn't, because it's, you know, that's what I do, and I don't know.
That's number one if you're keeping track. That's number one today.
Gold needs that.
That's good. That's number one of the day. You got a backpack next to you. Is there like four or five more in there?
It's a long day. Something like that. Okay. Gonna be here for a while, so.
It is a Red Monday. We are loaded today after week one of a NFL season. Two more games to go tonight, though, on Monday Night Football. And coming up today at 12 o'clock, Andy Reid. You'll hear him exclusively here on 610 Sports Radio, his live press conference on 610. Bill Moss going to join us 1 hour from now for our weekly conversation with him. But it was nice to just not leave the couch whatsoever yesterday, just flip on Red Zone Channel and just watch football all day long. And one of the biggest things throughout the offseason we've tried to figure out, and I think was pretty straightforward, at least heading into the season, was, all right, Kansas City, it's the Chiefs, it's the Ravens, and then who else could emerge? And on the NFC side, it seems a lot more cluttered. Who could emerge out of that? And I know it's 1 week, it's Overreaction Monday for a reason. But what we saw, and there's the Steelers tonight and the Titans still to go, and you guys know how I feel about the Titans. I think they're one of those teams that are going to regress. I think Pittsburgh actually will surprise some people, but are they even really contenders? And so what we saw yesterday was just confirmation to me of how this AFC in particular is shaping up. The Baltimore Ravens look legit. The Baltimore Ravens and the Chiefs have looked better than anybody else in football 1 week into the season. Fair? I mean, that's pretty clear to me. The Colts were another team some people were thinking about. Disappointed themselves with a loss to Jacksonville. We'll talk about that. And Phillip Rivers looked like the same Phillip Rivers. But the only team other than Baltimore for me that maybe even sneaks up at some point is Pittsburgh. We did this whole entire offseason, Bank, and I come away from yesterday, I'm like, yeah, I feel even better about the Chiefs. And if you're the Ravens, you should feel even better about your situation, because there was nobody when you watched yesterday on week one of the NFL season where you're feeling like, oh, wow, that team was really impressive. Nobody other than Baltimore.
No, there wasn't. And last year, you think about Baltimore, they kind of entered that echelon. I mean, people knew the Chiefs were coming, obviously, with Patrick Mahomes being the MVP. Then the Ravens started getting our attention last year. Remember how good Lamar Jackson was? Obviously, he wins the MVP. But they started getting our attention. There was not that Ravens team yesterday that we saw last year, because I think the Ravens got on a radar. I don't know what you expected about the Ravens last year. You probably thought they'd be good. I don't think you thought they'd be that good.
Definitely didn't think they'd be in position to be the number one seed like they were.
But it was a week of uncertainty, because you wondered who's prepared and who's not. And it shows, and we've always talked about like Andy Reid being so detailed into what he does. And that proved out Thursday night. When you don't have mini camps and OTAs and training camp, let's face it, it was weird. I mean, you're spacing things out. I mean, you had to spend half your time on protocols than half your time. I know they let your trainers do it, but still, there was a lot of stuff that the league mandated you have to do. So that put pressure on the coaches. Who's going to handle things better? It's not going to St. Joe and Andy Reid just doing football. He had to do football around different protocols and guys spaced out. And who were going to be the most prepared coaches? Who was going to be the most prepared teams? We certainly saw it in college football. But I was waiting in the NFL. I was expecting actually more sloppy play than we saw. I saw a little bit of sloppiness, but not like I expected. Preseason football is really in danger going forward, because That wasn't as bad as people thought going in without any preseason.
Is it, though? Like, I'm with you. As a fan, I don't need
preseason. It wasn't sloppy like I expected.
No, as a fan, I don't need preseason football. I agree with you because it wasn't sloppy. But as far as – is it really in danger when we know there's still millions of dollars that they're going to make from it?
I think it's in danger, at least the four games. I mean, obviously, we know that's going to be
reduced. Yeah, maybe a reduction.
Two max. I mean, we can even see one.
I will be stunned if there's no preseason period. I'm fine if there's not, but there's just too much money on the line. That's why a lot of people are talking about, we don't need preseason. I'm with you from
there's
the quality
of
play. You know, the play was very impressive overall. It wasn't as sloppy. We wondered that. And you know, to your point there, just about all offseason, the Chiefs, the one advantage among many things, but the one that everybody even nationally agreed with was, all right, the Chiefs are returning 20 of 22 starters, and the Chiefs have the same coaching staff. The Chiefs have all the familiarity that exists.
And the Ravens are the same way.
Same way. And what do you know? The two most impressive teams from week one have been them. I know even the text line says, with no respect for Buffalo, I still got to see way more from it. Josh Allen had a very nice game, but I still wonder.
Except for one bad pass.
Can they do it against a quality opponent? Let's be real about Buffalo.
Josh Allen did miss a wide open wide receiver in the end zone. But
what was up with that pass?
They're
playing the Jets.
I know. But again, good rush defense, as Sert and I were talking about earlier. No, but who was prepared and who wasn't? We've certainly seen that, you know, in college football and with the NFL. There wasn't that team that jumped out. Now tonight, you know, the Titans, obviously a team that went all the way to the brink last year, played the Chiefs, very good playoff run for them, and Derrick Henry and what they did. Titans tonight against the Broncos, I think that'll show us, like, who's that second tier? Like, the Texans, I want to put them there because of Deshaun Watson. But the fact that you play the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Steelers the first 3 weeks, that team could be 0-3. We know what happens in the NFL when you're 0-3 making the postseason. I get it. There's an extra team. But still, who is the most prepared team going out? And that's one reason I like the Chiefs anyway this year. But you add in everything else, and a guy as prepared as Andy Reid, it just made sense. The guys that wear the ringer, John Harbaugh's got a ring on the finger. I mean, you know, these guys, and an Andy Reid disciple. But these guys that are meticulous in what they do really showed out yesterday, as far as the AFC is concerned.
Yeah, because then over, and that's the side, of course, that we focus in on. But over on the NFC, even if you're the one team that I think really stood out, and I don't know where you had Seattle. Seattle looked really, really strong. Russell Wilson's performance was really, really strong. And for the first two drives of the game, the LA Rams were a big shocker for me. And then we all know that game tightened up. And at the end, and Dallas, I don't know what Mike McCarthy was thinking, not kicking a field goal. He could have tied the game. Don't get me started on that. And I'm not happy about that whatsoever, Bink. That was one of our bets we had with Benny Heiss on Friday. And him and I did a side bet as well. So that game cost me a little bit of money. I'm still a little upset about that. But the NFL week one, it was, you know, I get it. We were all amped up for football, even if the product wasn't going to be as good as we thought it would be. We were all still going to enjoy it, but it was a really good NFL Sunday, and an NFL Sunday that showed also, I think, when we wonder, as you pointed out, about the teams with new coaches as well. Like, I don't know about you. I was viewing, if you have a team with a new coach, especially with this offseason and all that, how on earth can we really focus in on them for the first month or so of the season? The one team that looked better than I thought they would was the Carolina Panthers a little bit, and we'll talk about the Raiders and their performance. But other than that, as far as teams with new coaches and rookie head coaches, I was really impressed, actually, with what Carolina did.
And on the flip side of that, I was disappointed. I know it's Bruce Arians' second year there, but you have the greatest of all time, and Tom just did not look in sync with that team. And you got Gronk there, and Gronk doesn't look the same. But I was watching them. You know, I know it's year two for Bruce Arians. This is go time for him. Very good coach. But I was shocked at the way that they performed. But, yeah, it's tough for new coaches and even second-year coaches getting new talent. But I was worrying about the key players that moved to a different team, if they would be in sync with their team. And I was curious how rookie quarterbacks would do. Like Joe Burrow, how is he going to, you know, implement himself into the Bengals offense? So, yeah, there was a lot of curiosity about week one. I think that was the interesting thing about yesterday. Not only is it great to have football back, but how are they going to react with no fans in some of those stadiums? How are they going to react as far as the timing is down with the receivers? How are they going to react actually playing a different opponent besides just playing against your own guys each and every day, what it was going to look like? But I thought yesterday kind of had a lot of things going on to watch.
We'll talk again with Bill Moss coming up at 11 o'clock, get his perspective on week one of the NFL season. Still got two games to go. Plus, in about 20 minutes, we'll talk a little Royals baseball. They have won six in a row all of a sudden. Everybody focusing on football, but the Royals have won six in a row. Brad Keller was fantastic again. The complete game shutout yesterday, and It's been a week of Mondesi hitting the ball really, really well and doing some things that only, what, two, three other baseball players have been able to do over the last couple of years. And so we'll talk some Royals baseball here in just a little bit. But one thing also occurred before all the games got going on Sunday, and I think it's a reminder and something that I had mentioned the day that the Chiefs drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And by the way, Clyde was the only running back so far. We'll find out if it changes tonight. You've got some good backs in Barkley and Derrick Henry going, but he's the only running back with 100 yards or more rushing so far through 13 games, I guess it is, or so, of the NFL season. And looking at what he's already meant to the Chiefs in one game and what the expectations are and the company he put himself in, we read you the stats and looking at guys to have that kind of debut typically go on to be rookies of the year, go on to have even maybe the rushing title. But on Saturday, we saw Dalvin Cook get paid. We saw, to a smaller extent, Kareem Hunt on Friday. Now, that wasn't a mega deal, so I'm good with that. And then Kamara down in New Orleans. So 5 years, $75 million for him. Cook gets $63 million over 5 years. These are now two more examples that we can continue to follow. The Chiefs don't have to make a decision, fortunately, on a running back position for 4 or 5 years from now in terms of long-term contracts if Clyde turns out to be the guy we think he's going to be. But all these guys are going to prove one way or the other if teams should continue paying backs this kind of money. And props to Cook, by the go get yours, absolutely. But you know, I don't care, I said this on draft night, how good Clyde ends up being. I'm not signing a running back to a mega deal in 4, 5, 6 years from now, especially when if Andy Reid is still around. And Mahomes is going to still be around. So there's no reason to do that. As long as you're willing to part ways and make that tough decision. I don't understand how we continue to see this kind of money being doled out, though, to running backs on the second contract. I think it's going to turn out to be a mistake for the Saints. It's going to turn out to be a mistake for the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, the running back position is back. And we started to see it. Remember a couple of years that went through a draft without the running back in the first round? And we started to see it trickling in a little bit more with some of these running backs. But do you remember the Colts? They used to pay a handful of players. I'm talking about when Peyton Manning was there and Tony Dungy. Do you remember Edgerrin James and how good he was for the Colts? And they did not pay him, and they parted ways with him. And people said, what are you doing? They draft Joseph Addai. They end up winning the Super Bowl with him. So Edge goes. Joseph Addai comes in. That team ends up winning the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I've always been a running back guy, but I've kind of changed my philosophy the last couple of years, paying them or not paying them. And I think we see the value in what a quarterback brings you. That's what you need. The franchise quarterback, and you move all the other parts around him. Just like Tom was in New England, just like we've seen with Big Ben in Pittsburgh, one part, and Aaron Rodgers to some extent, even though they haven't replaced different parts and done the draft Jordan Love, but moving the parts around the quarterback. Jordan Love is not even the backup quarterback. But anyway.
No, I got what you're saying. Yeah.
That's a different topic. But as long as you have that statue and then move all the other pieces around him, you can accomplish things. But I've seen teams do it and not do it. Jamaal Charles was 80% of this team's offense for a while. You know, but it's move on and move up with the NFL and with these running backs. And you're seeing guys like Chris Carson with the Seahawks, you know, being a seventh round pick. We see the magic of undrafted. Darrell Williams has made himself the number two running back on a world champion football team, being an undrafted free agent. Hey, heck, on defense, we saw Turk Wharton from Missouri S&T make the 53-man roster. So getting a running back, they are dime a dozen. I understand Clyde has changed this, but doesn't mean there won't be another running back in 5 years coming out of LSU. They love LSU running backs, number one and number two on this team, or Georgia. I mean, you know, it's going to be the next guy is going to be there. He's in high school right now. He's a junior in high school right now, ready to emerge, or sophomore in high or in college, ready to emerge, but he will be there by the time. And Clyde's going to be like 27 or 28.
Yeah, look, I understand it's a long time from now to make those kind of decisions, but I just want people to continue to remind themselves, like, right now, how you're feeling, and yeah, sure, that's fine. And when the time comes, if Clyde is performing at the level that people think he's going to consistently, at that point in time, I will completely understand if they're not willing to do that. And I think it would be a mistake to do that. I don't care how good the back is. I mean, the Panthers went ahead and gave the money to Christian McCaffrey. And Christian McCaffrey, you know, certainly him and Zeke are...
Well, you're one of three guys that's ever caught 1,000 yards and ran for 1,000 yards. So, yeah, I mean, it's different because you're an elite receiver out of the back.
But they also don't have, you know, they don't have their quarterback yet. You know, Teddy Bridgewater, I don't view as a long-term solution there in Carolina necessarily.
Joe Brady.
And the way that team is set up right now, they're not in, you know, position to be a contender yet, Carolina, and they don't have their quarterback. When you have your quarterback and you have your head coach, we'll find out what Matt Rhule turns out to be there. But that mainly it's Mahomes and it's Reed is why, and looking how they got Kareem Hunt even in the third round, to your point about going and finding guys late in the draft, or
Kamara third round.
I mean, Damian Williams last year was he's an undrafted free agent and spent some time in Miami, comes over. We know the postseason he had, and he was extremely effective for you and should have been possibly, or would have been close to being a Super Bowl MVP.
Spencer Ware, undrafted. You're talking about Darrell Williams that played last year for the Chiefs, Damian Williams, undrafted. Think about the team, the guys they had. Darwin Thompson, he's what, a sixth round pick? You know, you think about the Chiefs running game last year and what they had. These weren't first rounders. They weren't second rounders, but they found a way to produce and win a Super Bowl with what they had. Now, Clyde takes you a different level, no question about that. But let's not forget, it's Pat Mahomes. I mean, here's the thing. Clyde was great, and I loved what Clyde Edwards-Helaire can bring. But you got to be kidding me. When you have a quarterback like Mahomes that can stretch the field like he can, you can't put eight in a box. You can't even bring in a box safety against Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I was always wondering what elite running back would do behind Mahomes, because he's going to make a lot of running backs look good, just because teams can't. That's the one thing that made Jamal Charles so good, is teams would load the box. That's all they had, was Jamal Charles. And Chuck Pagano once called him public enemy number one when he was with the Colts. You got to stop Jamal. But if you load up to stop Clyde, Travis can eat, Tyreek's going to eat, Demarcus Robinson down the field on a nine round, and he's going to run wild. So don't forget the Mahomes factor does help the running game, just like it did last year.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we will talk some Royals baseball. They've won six in a row. Brad Keller with a complete game shutout. We'll hear what Mike Matheny had to say about Keller's outing and specifically what it does for the rest of the team. But we do know as well, over the weekend, and I saw more and more people were tweeting about it as well, we had our Survivor League picks. I just want to point this out. I wanted to really just lead the show with it, actually. I don't know if you guys remember. There was Carrington Harrison.
I am champion dot.
Called himself champion dot just all last week leading up. He came in studio. He's been saying it all week on the drive. I just want to remind you of who his pick was.
It is the time you guys have all been waiting for. I'm taking the Philadelphia Eagles in Survivor this week. On the road to Washington, I'm taking the Philadelphia Eagles this week.
Final snap of the day. Carson Wentz throws to the sideline. It's caught by Ward. It means nothing. Ron Rivera and the Washington football team in a new era come back from 17 points down at home to beat Philadelphia by the final score of 27-17.
I was there when he made the selection. I was, you know, right by Speck's office and Carrington. I said, hey, that's bold, man. That's bold. Because I figured if you're Carrington, you go with the sure thing. I mean, I thought he'd go with the rest of us with Buffalo. You know, I just really, everybody pretty much submitted their picks. I mean, they're all on the board and he could have easily done that, but you know, gone the safe route, maybe the Chiefs. And I get it, you know, burning the Chiefs like Pete Sweeney. I thought it was silly burning the Chiefs this early, but it is what it is. And Pete's got the W. But if I'm Carrington, I might have done that. I mean, you got to go safe route. When you were out literally on Thursday and then Sunday before the rest last year, you have to go the safe route.
It's impressive, isn't it? Not, you know how hard that is 2 years in a row?
Well, I will say in his defense, the Eagles felt like a safe pick because I don't think that Washington is a good football team. Like, Dwayne Haskins wasn't good yesterday. The Eagles just have a bunch of offensive line injuries. They didn't have Miles Sanders. They don't have Alshon Jeffrey. Jalen Reagor's not ready yet. DeSean Jackson sucks. Like, there was just a lot of things piling up in favor of Washington in that football game. So I'll give him a little bit of credit there.
No, he had an ad campaign going, man. He had an ad campaign going, walking around as champion dot. And
the only
then
guy
that
with the
happens. The only guy with a commercial. We warned you not to pick him. I told you not to pick me, but pick Serta, pick Bink, pick Cody. Don't pick C-Dot. Now he's got you one game in the hole already. Do you have any faith that he's not going to be knocked out this week now?
A road team, and I get it. Fans, no fan. I mean, the road games are different this year, but you're still getting on a plane and traveling. Things are a little bit different, so you're out of your normal routine. Road game, going against Riverboat Ron. Not only that, the team name Washington football team. I mean, that's as generic as you can get, right? And you lose to that, but you forgot. And Dwayne Haskins, who thought he was the leader that he was, it wasn't Ron Rivera was getting an IV at halftime. Mm-hmm. You kidding me? Your head coach is getting an IV? This inspires people. Riverboat Ron coming in. Dwayne Haskins gave that speech. This was Jason Hayward with the Cubs against the Indians in the World Series a couple years ago. This was inspiring the masses. Dwayne Haskins took on a leadership role with that Redskins team, and they came back, and the rest is history, and CDOT's got the L.
Most people picked the Buffalo Bills moving on. Fesco also had his one team eliminated against double elimination, but he went with the Indianapolis Colts, who I thought more people actually were going to take the Colts. So that one could have knocked out more people. But so he's knocked out. I was sweating a little bit. I was sweating a little bit.
And you should have been.
People were giving me crap all week. The boss, everybody went with the Las Vegas Raiders against the Carolina Panthers. This was even Levine last week on the drive.
Did you guys see who Gold picked earlier today?
Yes, I gave him a lot of grief in the hall.
Gold took the Raiders.
On purpose.
He did pick the Raiders.
But you can take him. Go to the website if you want to click on his name.
Well, hopefully you picked me. Hopefully you did. Because I still got the Bills to pick later this week or this season. I got the full arsenal of everybody.
We'll get the Raiders at home to pick.
Yeah, the Raiders,
year,
by the way,
like
I felt
Serta.
So dirty
that
yesterday.
Was seven lead changes in that
it
game.
It was. I just
you
felt
been
dirty.
Sweating.
I felt dirty picking the Raiders. There was a point in time where I had to clap because they got the stop on fourth down. I was, quote unquote, rooting at that point in time. It felt very
this
dirty.
This was after you waved the wheat until 1 o'clock in the morning.
We'll get to that.
You didn't
later.
Hit the over under. Yeah. You missed on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you hit the Raiders. Mm-hmm. You should have been sweating.
Mm-hmm.
But there's Walter Payton in the backfield for the Raiders and Josh Jacobs.
That's right. Gruden calling Josh Jacobs like looking like it was Walter Payton out there. So the Survivor League, all three of us at least are moving on. Week two of our picks, thanks to Own KC. But Serta, you went to Buffalo Bills as well, so you were not sweating.
Yeah. Just pick against the Jets. One thing that we definitively knew going into the season was that the Jets are likely the worst team in the NFL, and they looked like the worst team in the NFL yesterday.
They looked terrible.
At least with Washington, they got Chase Young. They got a nice little pass rush going there that was giving the Eagles problems. So that makes me a little bit more weary of them. I still don't think they're a good football team, but the Jets are hot garbage.
The Eagles gave up 8 sacks. They were up 17-0 to Washington. Carrington, there was no reason for him at that point to be sweating. He was probably feeling good. Maybe even had turned off the game. And you wake up in the second half, and all of a sudden, Philadelphia was in major, major trouble. Big time win for Washington. I did enjoy the Survivor League Padot. We all knew the real answer there. He's already won them all.
Jets seem to be forever Trevor.
I've told
they'll move,
you.
They'll move on from Darnold. I mean, it's,
I told you. I don't
he's
think
he's going to end up like Josh Rosen sitting in the stands like he did in the Saints yesterday. That's where Darnold's going.
I don't think Darnold's good by any means. I haven't said that, but I continue
it's
to stress.
Forever Trevor in New York.
I stress with Sam Darnold. I think he has been given a horrific opportunity in New York with that roster, with that O-line, with the lack of weapons, with a crappy head coach again.
Good rush defense.
A crappy head coach again. Then they trade away Jamal Adams in the secondary. I don't think Sam Darnold's been given a fair opportunity there whatsoever.
He sees ghosts.
They have a good rush defense. They do have a really good rush
defense.
I'm thinking
positive here.
That's on accident. They didn't mean to do that.
Well, they play in New York. They
traded away the best player on the team in Jamal Adams.
They wear green.
Guess who they get next week? They get the 49ers, who are coming off a loss to the Cardinals. Niners might be my pick next week. Niners might be the put.
Sam Darnold sees ghost.
He does.
No other quarterback does. They got a lot of things going for him.
So two of us at the station have been had their one team eliminated. Carrington and Fesco. We'll have our picks again Thursday
Fesco
at 12:30.
Fesco has a secret weapon or something like that. Dude.
He's got somebody else making picks with him, I believe. That backfired a little bit. It might be Carrington Harrison. It might be. By the way, on the drive this afternoon, Carrington's going to have to explain himself a little bit, but he will be joined by Patrick Mahomes one-on-one exclusively here on the drive. Carrington Harrison will talk, along with Sean Levine, will talk to Patrick Mahomes. Coming up next here on Cody and Gold, the Royals have won 6 in a row, and Brady, Belichick, one of them's got a win already.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Back here on Cody and Gold, Jay Binkley in for Cody Tapp today and tomorrow. Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll have our weekly conversation with former Chief Bill Moss. A couple games still to go, week one of the NFL season. Titans and Broncos tonight, Steelers and Giants. And it's another game week for the Kansas City Chiefs. They get set to take on the LA Chargers here on a Red Monday presented by Comcast. And Andy Reid, his press conference will be heard exclusively at noon here on 610 Sports Radio. Nowhere else can you hear from Andy Reid today. And also tonight, and we mentioned it's a jam-packed Red Monday here on 610 Sports Radio. At 6 o'clock, the Chiefs Kingdom Show with Mitch Holthus from 6 to 7 here on 610 Sports Radio. Also, he's going to have Patrick Mahomes stop by. And don't forget Chiefs Kingdom Show Nights, $5 chicken buckets over at Hy-Vee as well. And we will get back to some NFL. And Brady had his debut down in Tampa, picks up the L. Belichick had Cam Newton. They get the win, and we'll talk about both of those performances here in about 8 minutes or so, but suddenly you look up and the Kansas City Royals won six in a row, and trying to get to
eight
in a row.
Slow down.
Six in a row. Brad Keller, complete game, shutout yesterday. Mondesi all of a sudden hitting as well. And I wanted to start with Mondesi because the frustrating thing is what we've seen the last week, right? As good as he's been the last week, he's looked like the superstar Adalberto Mondesi for the past week. He's doing things that select few have done. For example, he's the first player, in fact, in the modern era to have four games with a home run and a stolen base in a six-game span. He's doing things that very few have ever done.
Second player since 1900.
Yeah.
To do that.
The Mondesi of the last, during this six-game winning streak, this Adalberto Mondesi, and it's not a coincidence, by the way, the reason why they've won six in a row, and he's playing well. I understand they've gotten great pitching as well.
This
but it's
without Soler.
This is
Rosenthal
without
Soler. With the Padres.
Salvi's back. I mean, certainly doesn't hurt, to say the least. But that's what's also frustrating to me about it, because this is the Mondesi that everybody had talked about, his time in the system. He'll do this for a week, and then we'll see what we saw at the beginning of the season. And you'll have a stretch of a month or more where he looks like a fringe major leaguer. And so I'm excited to see that he's playing at this level, but also it's like, nobody should be looking at what Mondesi's done in the last week and thinking, oh, he's completely fixed, or this is going to be what we've already had to lower the expectation for Mondesi. I love what we saw from this week, but it's just this reminder. We see a week stretch where he looks like an all-star, and then you have 3 weeks where he looks like a fringe big leaguer.
He already leads the American League in stolen bases by five. Leads Major League Baseball by a couple. Would have had the stolen base lead in just 102 games last year. Mm-hmm. Would have had the title. Was only three behind Malik Smith. I mean, it's unbelievable what he does. The combination of speed and power is so rare in Major League Baseball. He's had a home run 458 feet. He's hit one 418. And I remember doing the Royals postgame back in 2018. His average distance on home runs was more than any other Royal. I mean, and I remember talking to Ned one time before a game. We were talking about Mondesi and just kind of, what he's doing. Because at that point, he was still doing some second base and in shortstop and where he's going to be. But he said something unusual. He said that Mondesi was finally going to the training room every day. Like, Monty was refusing to do that. And I always thought it was good for him to watch a guy like Escobar. Because say what you want about Escobar, dude played every day. Dude was tough as nails. Escobar get hurt, he'd still play. And he had that longest streak going. Remember, he had the consecutive streak for the Royals going. And he was moved to center field. He'd play third. He'd move everywhere. And they finally set him on the bench. He didn't complain. I thought that'd be a good guy for him to look up to. So you kind of put everything together. And what's the difference between Mondesi this year? 3 years ago, I said this team has budding superstars at 22 years old. Patrick Mahomes, Brad Keller, and Adalberto Mondesi. And Keller and Mondesi share the same birthday, same age. And we've seen Keller kind of turn that corner. We've definitely seen with Mahomes. But where was Mondesi going to be? Matheny had to figure it out. He gave him a day off. He gave Mondesi a day off. And all these guys, to a man, Hunter Dozier, Alex Gordon, they all talk about Mondesi's potential. They always talk about this guy having everything. And to be honest with you, pound for pound, he is the most talented player that they do have. It's about getting that talent out. And I asked Vern yesterday when I had the Sunday show about the fact, and Hunter Dozier came on this program, and I was filling in for you with Cody one day, and I was asking about these rookies making their debut, like Singer and Bubich and stuff like this, and you don't get that adrenaline buzz from having mom and dad sit in the stands or the people watching
right.
you. But on the flip side, as I was driving home that day, I was thinking, you know what, this is good for Mondy, because when Mondy's going through a stretch, Twitter was all over him. Royals were all over him. Fans were all over him. He wasn't booed. Like, he wasn't feeling the eyes watching him every time, every day. And I don't know if that helped or not get over that hump that he's got, but we all know he's got the talent there. Matter of fact, one of the rare combinations is power and speed. Since 2018, he's got 12, this is from Nick Capel, the Royals. He's got 12 games where he's at, since 2018, 12 games with the home run and the stolen base. The only one better is Christian Yelich. Right behind him is Mike Trout with 10 and Ronald Acuna Jr. with 10. And there's Adalberto Mondesi all alone in second place with 12. That is an impressive list. Yelich, Acuna Jr., and Mike Trout. That is an exclusive list. Can he get on base? Can he make that single a double? Can he make that double a triple with the stolen base? There's nobody as naturally talented, but putting it all together is that's Matheny. That's his job, you know, to put it all together. And so far, you know, he did for a while. All right, I got this guy with all this talent. How do I get it out of him? But certainly this team is better off with him playing well.
Yeah, and I don't disagree. It's just it's 1 week. Like, it's a hell of a week.
No, it is.
A hell of a week.
And he's had these stretches.
And that's, again, that's why I temper my excitement a little bit. I love what we've seen the last week. Certainly it's much better from the lowest of lows where Mondesi was. And whenever we were talking about Mondesi, it was all for negative reasons for, you know, the last month and a half or whatever it was. Now we have a chance to talk about the positive end and what he's doing historically. And it's a great way. This was my, when Cody was in 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Mondesi, and, you know, he was saying perhaps that they should just sit him the rest of the season. I said, well, what good would that do? Because you do need to get his confidence up, allow him to feel good about the offseason heading into next season. That was best case scenario. And what we're seeing here with, what are we down to?
12 games.
12 games, 13 games, 12 games to go. If he's able to play like this the final 2 weeks of the season or so, yeah, I mean, it's not going to change my overall expectation of where
September
I believe you.
September numbers are deceiving usually in baseball. They can be.
This year's weird anyway with the 60-game schedule, but that's the best-case scenario. He's getting confidence. He's playing at this level. You feel a lot better about yourself heading into the offseason. That's why it was important. They gave him one day off, and, you know, wow, was that the fix? Who knows? Ultimately, heading into the future, though, he has to be a big part of it, like what we're seeing there. But more importantly, I think from what I view more as real, because I questioned the last week of being real for Mondesi, is what we've seen from the young pitchers. It wasn't too long ago, a few days back, we were talking about a near no-hitter on Thursday night for Brady Singer. And here we are now on a Monday, a day after a complete game shutout from Brad Keller. That's real. Like, to me, that's more real. I have way more confidence in what we're seeing from those guys being legit, what they're capable of, than what I saw in the last week from Mondesi. And Brad Keller has been fantastic. His ERA just a little bit above two. He's been incredible.
He's really turned the corner now. The praise he gets from other teams. I remember talking a couple years ago to George Springer after games. He's like, this is 22. This is back when Keller's 20. He's like, I can't believe that he's got this much talent at that age. We all knew the talent's there. I mean, he's got ace-type stuff. Not only that, he cemented himself because – before the season, Alex, and, you know, back in spring training, it looked like they were going to have a season. Then COVID obviously hit us. But what did you expect from the Royals? It was about bringing guys up. It was like the days of bringing Duffy up and Perez and Moose and Hosmer. It was about the young stars in the minor league bringing them here. Well, I think you kind of know with your rotation going forward, you know that Singer and Bubich obviously look like staples in that rotation. Brett Keller's going to be a staple in this rotation. Now, where would he be from 1-3 with this team? We don't know. You got Asa Lacy.
Yes.
That's going to come on strong with this team. And Jonathan Bolin got added to he's the Royals' ninth best prospect. Just got added to the alternative training site over at the T-Bones. But he looks promising in the future. Currency, as Dayton Moore said, is pitching, and they have it. So, also, something that they've only done once in their history. They had three straight games with wins from guys making their first major league wins. Bubich got his first major league win. Kyle Zimmer did out of the bullpen as far as getting his first major league win. And then with Brady Singer in his no-hitter, he already has major league wins. But they essentially had rookies making first major league wins. And it's been a great stretch. And, you know, it's overshadowed. There was the Chiefs playing, and there's Brady Singer going with that no-hitter. But the Royals, all pressure's off. There's little to no media out there.
Yeah, football season's here.
There's no fans out there. Football season is here. There's little to no pressure. This is go time. And, you know, it's a shame you got a guy like Whit Merrifield that's just so good and with him and his team going forward in the future. But I feel like they've figured a lot of the rotation and bullpen going forward. And as Ned always said, you need two or three hot guys in the lineup. Well, you got Mondesi, you got Whit, you got Franco that still leads Major League Baseball and RBI after the seventh inning, which is incredible what he's been able to do this year with the team. And this is without Solera in the lineup. And this is with Trevor Rosenthal over in San Diego. Again, sometimes addition by subtraction does happen and you don't expect it.
Royals have today off. They're back at it tomorrow in Detroit. Six pitch right here on your home for the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. Really nice to see those six in a row for Kansas City and trying to finish this season, at least on a positive note when it comes to confidence for the future heading into the 2021 season. Again, Bill Moss will join us coming up in 20 minutes. Our weekly conversation with the former Chief will get his perspective on week one of the NFL season. And yesterday was the debut. It looked weird, didn't it? Tom Brady in a Bucs uniform, Cam Newton in a Patriots uniform. We know one of them got a win, one got a loss. It was Cam Newton and the Patriots getting a win over Miami. So Belichick 1-0 post-Brady. Brady post-Belichick 0-1 as the Bucs went down to New Orleans and took an L to the Saints. And I continue to maintain, though, man, and we've had this discussion, I feel like, quite a bit whenever you filled in.
You and I have argued about this going back a long time.
I maintain we'll never get the answer. I know people are going to talk about it. Here we are talking about it. But we'll never get the answer as Brady or Belichick, who was more important than the other and all that. If you're going to take away from this year, and who knows, by the way, the Bucs, it's week one. I don't think, even though I'm not as high on the Bucs as Serta is, I don't think people should be looking at the Bucs performance yesterday and saying, see, it's not going to work out. It's week one. They're taking on a very good New Orleans Saints team. But you can't look at the Bucs. Let's say if they end up with seven wins, okay, and the Patriots win 11 games with Cam Newton and say, clearly, Belichick was the guy, not Tom Brady. Now, it would be a hell of a coaching job, and Belichick might win Coach of the Year if that happens. But we're past that. Brady needed to leave 5 or 6 years ago for me to actually definitively be able to say, nope, it was Belichick, or nope, it was Brady for the success, for the six rings. It wasn't Belichick, it was Brady, and all that. I know the conversation's going to happen because here we are. It's week one, and one of them has a win, one doesn't. And what was really impressive is we saw the reinvention of at least one of the guys so far, and it was Bill Belichick along with Josh McDaniels. In that offense, they completely have conformed it to fit who? Cam Newton. That was really impressive against a Dolphins team who I'm not as high on as others either. I don't think the Patriots are going to go out there, Bink, and blow teams out very often this year with the way they're going to play offensively, but it was an impressive shift offensively for Belichick.
You know, they could still be good defensively, make a big difference, but they're going to Princeton offense you to death is what they're going to do and just find ways to win. 75 yards rushing for Cam Newton. That's the most they've had since 1971 with Steve Grogan when he had like 82 yards rushing in a game. So much different. Tom Brady, matter of fact, 18 and 19, ran for a total of 69 yards, two seasons combined. Cam already goes for 75 yards in one game. Gives him a different dimension. I'm still shocked that Cam Newton wasn't on more of the radar for other teams. But I know it's not fair, but life's not fair. And football's not fair to compare Brady and Belichick. But you're going to see it. You've already seen it. I mean, the memes with crying Tom Brady and the Buccaneers and Cam Newton with that scarf on with the Patriots hat. I mean, you've already seen this. I mean, it's already going to happen. And you're right. Belichick, if he finds a way to win, his best coaching job, in my opinion, was when he found a way to win 11 games after Bernard Pollard took Tom Brady out. And he still didn't make the playoffs with 11 wins, believe it or not. So that was kind of weird how that happened, because usually it does with 11 wins. But regardless, it's going to be a different team. We're coaching up. This is where you're going to see the best of Bill. You're going to see the best of Bill Belichick this year, finding ways to win. And yes, I think it takes time. I know Tom Brady's down there. He's the GOAT. He's got Gronk back and all that. Everything's fun in Tampa. But again, the timing, the placement with your wide receivers, whatever. And I know Bruce Arians is a master, but again, even a quarterback like that, the greatest of all time, to expect him going to a new team. And I know he worked out with these wide receivers, and I know they, you know, tried to get their timing down. But it's a little bit different. Tom's timing wasn't right. He was throwing stuff he shouldn't have thrown.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was week one, though. The same way we talked about to lead the show with, all right, contenders, and who, it's not a secret, I think, that the Ravens and Chiefs looked as good as anybody in football week one. Not only do they have the most talented rosters in football, arguably, but they have experienced coaching, and they have most of their returning starters. So it only makes sense if we're going to look at the Chiefs and the Ravens and say that's a big reason why they look so good. It only makes sense to the teams that maybe weren't so hot, and there's new quarterbacks, there's new coaches, there's new players involved, and Tampa's the prime example of that. It makes sense that they would not look good, and they were in New Orleans. I know there was no fans, but a Saints team who I have going to the Super Bowl, for example.
Too.
So I look at New Orleans, and when we're comparing, oh, wait, well, the Patriots look great, Brady looked eh, a little bit easier for Cam Newton to go when A, he's playing the Miami Dolphins versus going and playing because the Dolphins,
a team that did beat New England
last week of the
Brady,
season with Fitzpatrick.
Well,
yeah,
but they did do it, and it did help the Chiefs, and it's a better team in Miami. I mean, I get it, Tua's not playing and all that, but I do, and Fitzpatrick screwed up at the end, and I mean, it would have had to kick the onside kick, but.
Miami's a better football team, but they still have a lot of holes, and Cam Newton was the best player on the field yesterday, and their coaching is just significantly better, although I do want to see more out of Brian Flores because I'm hoping that he does turn into a good head coach. But, yeah, the Bucs had to play one of the five best teams in the NFL, even though I'm off the Saints bandwagon. They're still a really talented team.
There's still time to hop on.
They still have one of the best defenses in the league. That's a brutal week one matchup when you're in a completely new system, when you're playing with a bunch of people that you've never played with before. Cam Newton looked great, but they set up Cam Newton to be great with all of the rushing and options and things like that. That's just Josh McDaniels being a great offensive coach. I think the Bucs are going to look a lot different next week. And the Bucs defense, which I have been harping on all offseason about being a lot better than we're giving it credit for, that Bucs defense looked really good yesterday, and the Saints offense wasn't that good. It was just the turnovers that killed them.
You know what? I almost tweeted that, man, this Bucs defense, but I'm glad I didn't because then the Saints came back and scored 14 real quickly. But, you know, I should have just put that option on do not reply.
replies.
Yeah, but I didn't do it because that's the NFL, man. You can't jump to conclusions too early. We've seen this many times with teams, people saying
it's overreaction Monday, man.
Trash. The NFC is still wide open, but I still like the Saints in that conference.
Belichick also, he's mid-season form as well. He was asked you hear the question here. He was asked about how things went week one, specifically without fans and everything.
Bill, you are obviously someone who has seen a lot of your day, been involved in a lot of games. What was the atmosphere like in the stadium without fans there? Can you compare it to anything else that you've experienced in your football life?
Practice.
16-second audio cut. 15 seconds of it is the question, and you got a one-second answer. Phil Belichick's mid-season form. He's never going to change. Why would we expect that whatsoever? It's like practice.
Yeah, it's like at the draft where he has dogs sitting there. I mean, you should have.
Well, that was great, too.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite Bill Belichick lines.
Well, that Subway commercial is pretty good.
He's so
Belichick.
Right, though. He's so right. Like, because we've been spending all this time trying, you know, it's going to be so different. What's it like playing on game day without fans? And all these coaches are trying to come up with these elaborate explanations for how you combat that. And Bruce Arians was like, the Saints didn't pump in enough crowd noise. It was an advantage for them because it was so quiet. And Bill Belichick's over here is like, yeah, it's just like practice.
Again, I go back to even Harbaugh in the Ravens. Now, they look great. But remember there was the quote from him. We played it on the show. Somewhere in there from probably 2.5-3 months ago. We got to go back to June. And he was complaining about the regulations that were in place in protocol, saying it's not feasible. And I remember at the time I was thinking the coaches that find ways to complain or are going to, it carries over to your team. Like if you say, oh yeah, this is just, it's tough, you know, it's a tough adjustment for us, or this is something we got to get, you start saying that gets in the mind of your players, and they're going to use that as an excuse for why they maybe are not performing. I don't think it's any secret. Belichick, his approach, nobody's surprised, but his team is going to not let it phase them. The Ravens aren't, you know, Harbaugh's comments, the Ravens fortunately are talented enough, so it's probably not going to hurt them. But the coaches or players that can't stand the different setups or the challenges of going on the road, those are the teams that are going to suffer if they let that impact them.
The coaches that can adapt, just like Andy Reid, we talked about Andy Reid, you know, coaches that can adapt and know their players, having coaching staffs back is so important. The continuity is so important. And you saw that. And here's the Saints. I mean, you know, ring on Sean Payton's finger, ring on Drew Brees. You know, it's probably Drew Brees' last hurrah. That's why I like that team going forward this year. But who's going to be prepared and who's not going to complain about the way things are? And, you know, we've seen this a lot in college football, too. The teams that just don't care and let's just go out and play next man up philosophy. Those are the teams that are winning. The teams that aren't just kind of, well, we're out five starters or whatever. Just move on and play. And we're seeing those teams was early success.
Coming up at noon, Andy Reid, his live press conference exclusively here on 610 Sports Radio. Let's get, though, to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
Saw this come out yesterday. This one really doesn't faze me whatsoever because these things are disgusting. I have no interest in them. I haven't ate them probably in at least 10 years. No peeps. for Halloween or Christmas, Vink.
Why?
The company that produces Peeps says its holiday-themed marshmallow treats will not be in candy baskets this year, and they won't be in stores for Christmas either. The company will skip Valentine's Day Peeps next year as well. So no Peeps, marshmallow pumpkins, all that. They temporarily suspended the production of its candy brands back in April to protect the health and safety of their employees. This is one of those where I'm like, okay, move on. I don't like these anyway.
Some companies have done that. Like Coke, the one that's in the gold label, not Diet Coke, but
caffeine-free.
They stopped that for a while and then brought it back because it was very weird. But I know my parents like that. But some of these companies stop it. Why would you stop Peeps? I mean, people still like to eat. I mean, that's what they've been doing.
When's the last time you had some of those? Peeps aren't as bad as fruitcakes.
They're not as bad as candy corn. I'm not a huge Peeps guy, but they are certainly better than other things. I'm just surprised. I mean, that's a moneymaker. If you're Peeps, that's a garbage moneymaker.
They're nasty.
As long as we get the Reese's eggs, I don't really care.
Those are fantastic.
Anything Reese's is good. I know we'll talk maybe later in the show. Like Halloween this year is going to look weird, I would imagine, to begin with. But
everybody's getting masks on, and will people actually trick-or-treat? That's the real question. Yeah. They're selling the candy.
Yeah.
There might be great sales after Halloween.
If you wear a Halloween mask, do you still have to wear a regular mask underneath it?
Unless your mask is a Halloween mask.
I doubt people that are, I don't know, you know, the actual correct answer, I'm not sure. But what will probably happen, people will have the cheap plastic mask from their costume and they'll say, well, I'm wearing a mask. I would imagine.
I've been dressed up since I was four. I did wear a Jason mask for a while with the hockey. I can't find it anymore. But that's the only thing I'd ever wear. But I assume the market on Halloween style masks, since everybody's got masks they're wearing now, would be extremely popular. But again, will people trust going to homes? That's a great question.
Someone said there's on the text line 913-576-7610. There's no Dr. Pepper Cherry anymore because of there was a Diet Coke shortage for a little bit too.
And furniture, and we've seen that. But there's weird shortages.
Doesn't Dr. Pepper taste like cherry anyway?
Someone said there's 23 flavors, isn't there? And then I think there was an article a month ago about the Dr. Pepper that there is a shortage on like one or two of the flavors of the 23 flavors.
But it hasn't affected beer. And that's the important thing is people still drank a lot. That's actually one industry that's done extremely well.
Yeah, it's because that industry is still booming. Everybody's just developing an alcohol problem.
Yes,
when everybody was actually quarantined, go back to March and April or whatever, we're just going to the liquor store. There was nothing else to do whatsoever. For some people, that's still the case for the
liquor,
most part.
Liquor, wipes, but. Toilet paper, and furniture, and I guess no Peeps.
I'm fine. This is one of those, out of all the shortages we've seen, I'm good about that. I'm good. Don't need any Peeps. That makes sense, though. And you're right on candy corn. The first handful's not bad. The first handful of the candy corns, you can handle.
I can't.
After that, it's not very good whatsoever. All right, coming up next, we head into the 11 o'clock hour. We'll have our Chiefs Red Half Hour, but Bill Moss, our weekly conversation with the former Chief, is next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.